All right, good afternoon, everybody. How you doing? JJ's going to help me preach this one. Do you have any opening comments, JJ? I don't know if I need this. Do I need this? I don't know. You'll find out through the duration of the session. I can get loud if I need to. It's so good to be on campus, right? Amen. There we go. I'm going to make it tough to turn the pages, but we should be all right. Cool. All right. I'm campus minister here at Old Dominion and just for Hampton Roads. I just love being on campus. It's so much fun. You can just sit down and hang out with people on the spur of the moment, getting random conversations with people that you don't know. If you've got an ankle brace on, you can talk to somebody who's got a busted foot. And it's weird, but it's also kind of not weird. And you can get away with that. Amen. And to start off the campus service, I felt like I had to start off with something that's distinctly campus. Okay. I want to talk a little bit about when you come on your freshman year, for the most part, you come on and you get into your dorm room and you're assigned a roommate. Okay. And roommates can be funny. Roommates, there's all sorts of things that go on with roommates. Okay. You coming back from class and you walk in and your roommate is playing Xbox for the seventh straight hour. You come back and the worst nightmare would be to walk in on a roommate out there. They're not fully clothed and they're not decent. That's the worst nightmare, right? That is gross. I had some fun roommates when I was in college. We actually, after we got off campus and into dorms, into a house, I had these two great roommates, and some really funny things would happen. I'm serious. I would walk into one of their rooms, and the door would be open just a little bit, and one of them would be like in a Spider-Man T-shirt, literally up on his furniture, humming the Spider-Man theme, going, Spider-Man, does whatever Spider-Man. And I'm not joking. And I'm like, I walk in, I'm like, it wasn't me. No. I'm not saying I wouldn't have done it. I'm just saying that time it wasn't me. I'm walking in, right? Hey. And he's up there, he's like, hey. What do you do? So I'm just back away. And I go back across the hall to tell my other roommate what's going on in this roommate's room so he can join this with me. And I go into that room, and I joke you not, you can't make this up. I walk in, and my other roommate is doing Pilates to hard metal music. Oh, Josh! And he's like doing the downward dog yoga position. And I'm like, and I'm not normal by any stretch of the imagination, but at that moment, I'm like, what in the world is going on with this house? But one of my roommates, the Spider-Man one, he was in an a cappella group, and that's another thing that's distinctly college. And he was a good singer. Don't get me wrong, but he would practice around the house all the time. And I knew there was one time he was up for a solo in his group, and he would sing his part all the time. And our rooms were right next to each other, so I could hear everything. And there were paper thin walls. I mean, like if he moved, I could hear it, you know. And he's singing this, and to this day, I know the part. It went, ah, surrender, and I'm like, first time, you're like, okay, that's fine. But then he did it all the time, walking across the hall, going downstairs doing his laundry, ah, surrender. He's downstairs doing the dishes. And the worst is he was in the basement. The basement. And I'm upstairs in my room. I'm like, surely I won't be able to hear it now. Apparently the way that the heating ducts were, I could still hear it then. He's been down the basement. And so I would start singing it back to him. Like, you know, he'd go, ha, ha. And he would continue practicing it. And I heard it so many times. But then finally came the night of the concert, and we decided to go and see, support him, you know, be very supportive of my roommate. Nah, you know, acapella is cool. It sounded really good. And then all of a sudden, here comes him to the front of the group in like the third song, and I'm like, oh, here he is. We meet again. And all I know is that I don't care what's about to come out of this mouth. I just know I'm angry. And I am not looking forward to this song. And he's just up there, and I know what's coming. I know what's coming. And then all of a sudden, the song starts like, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. And even the beginning is stupid. It didn't even matter. It didn't even matter what was coming. And I'm going to leave you on a cliffhanger. I'll finish the story later. But he gets up there, and he's inhaling, and all I'm ready to do is just say, this is going to be awful. I already don't like this. I already don't like this. It's interesting that when you hear something over and over and over again and think you understand what it is, you think you understand what's going on, you can have a predisposition to not want to hear it ever again. Even if it's in a context that's completely different. That's exactly what happened with me and my roommate in this particular song. And I'll finish it at the very end. So you'll hear the end of how this all works out. But I think this happens spiritually as well. As a church, we've been studying out the book of Hebrews. And Hebrews was written to a group of Jewish Christians who were coming out of a life where they were devoted to the Old Testament covenant. That they were all into the sacrifices. That they were used to living the way that God called them in the Old Testament. They were devout. But now, they were called out of that life to be Christians. To follow Jesus. To do away with those sacrifices, to do away with the ritual. But so many of them started to go back to being Jewish, to reject Jesus, because times were getting tough. It was not easy to be a Christian back in Bible times. There was actual persecution. Their lives were at stake, their lives were in danger. And we're going to pick up in Hebrews chapter 3. So if you have a Bible, turn over to Hebrews chapter 3. I meant to show you that picture. That's not an actual picture of my roommate, but you get the idea. We've got a Hebrews chapter 3, starting in verse 7. But starting in verse 7, this is where we pick up. So as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the wilderness, where your ancestors tested and tried me. Though for 40 years they saw what I did. This is why I was angry with that generation. I said, their hearts are always going astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold to our original conviction firmly to the end. As has just been said, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. For who were they that heard and rebelled? Were they not all those Moses led out of Egypt? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not those who sinned, whose bodies perished in the wilderness? And to whom did God swear that they would never enter his rest, if not to those who disobeyed? So we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you have been found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the good news proclaimed to us, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them, because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. This is a great passage. There's so much in here. Title of my lesson this morning is, can you hear His voice? Can you hear His voice? That's a big theme in the Bible in general. To be able to hear the voice of God calling to you. We're going to take a look at 3 points here. The first one, are you hard of hearing? Check out that thing.
It's interesting. There is a big difference between hearing and listening. I bet you some of the campus people that took finals last semester realized that. I heard all of this, but why didn't I listen? I mean, studying for finals. Some of you experienced that this week. Just in listening, like, I'm here, I heard all the words, but I didn't actually get anything out of that class. I have no idea what in the world chemistry is about. And some of you are experiencing that right now. But we start off with this passage which the Holy Spirit says. Not I say, not your mama said, not your pastor said, the Holy Spirit said. So listen up. And then it comes, right after that, a warning. A warning from the past. For all of them, that this would have stood out in their minds. This is a huge warning. The author here quotes Psalm 95. He's talking about the Exodus. Okay, so if you've seen the Prince of Egypt, or the Ten Commandments, or have not lived under a rock, you know a little bit about the Exodus story. And the idea is that the Israelites were in captivity in Egypt, and God sends Moses, plagues, all sorts of stuff, because Pharaoh says, no, you can't go. And so God just says, all right, you're going to be like that, I'll show you what I can do. Watch me go. And so he sends 10 plagues to convince Pharaoh, let my people go. Finally, last plague, kills the firstborn son of Egypt, which would have been like the worst thing in that culture. Then they can go. And then they cross over the Red Sea. Like the big old sea, he parted it, and they walked across it. These are those people. And yet, within a short amount of time, some of them days, some of them weeks, maybe some years and stuff, but very, very short amount of time, they're already complaining about how God is doing things. And this is the warning that he's bringing back. The rebellion was the rebellion that happened very soon, and they started after they started worshiping the golden calf after coming out of Egypt. And it brought untold havoc on the Israelites for 40 years. That's the warning. Right after they were being freed from slavery, they witnessed miracles. They grumbled, complained, and rebelled. Their hearts had become as hard as the rocks that they were walking on. That word that's used right here, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. It's an interesting word. In Greek, which is what the Bible was written in, is the word scleruno. It's actually where we get the word sclerosis. And it means a hardening, a stiffening. Other senses of it, it's like a swelling, so that to the point where it's insensitive. Like you get a fat lip, you can't feel nothing. Also, with things like multiple sclerosis and amyotrophic lateral sclerosis or Lou Gehrig's disease, what happens is it's not just cells; they're more like structures. They're bones, they're neurons, they're your central nervous system. They harden up and they become useless. You can't move them. They're not useful, and they cause pain, and in many cases, they end up causing death. They were hardened. And even, they were hardened in their rebellion. And the word here for rebellion comes from the same Hebrew word, actually, and Greek word, that it comes from the same family group as to become bitter. They rebelled out of their bitterness, and they became hard. They were so hardened to the point where they missed God's word completely. His chosen people that he had handcrafted, brought them out of Egypt by himself, had now become an enemy. Because they were rebelling, because their hearts were hard. Now, how does that happen? Well, it's interesting. Take a look here, down in verse 13. So that none of you may be hardened by sins. Deceitfulness. It is sin's deceitfulness that hardens our hearts. For them, it was discomfort. It was their fatigue. It was their selfishness. And it told them, all those things together, told them that rebelling against God was better than obeying Him. After they had just seen what rebelling against God does to people, they did it anyway. Deceived. sin's deceitfulness is cunning. You cross the Red Sea, you turn around, you're making a god for yourself. Wow. Sin is deceitful. And this has happened to every person sitting in this room. We've been hardened. Maybe you thought, maybe any of these thoughts at one point in time in your life, I'm not going to be doing that Christian thing because I've seen what Christians are like. I know a guy back in my hometown. Maybe you think, I've tried this before. When I was younger, I was going to church all the time. He said, this doesn't really work. Or maybe you're thinking, I'm already doing all of this. What more do I need? I'm good. Here's the thing. If you don't start squirming in your chair just a little bit, when you read a command of God, you've been hardened. You wonder how I know? Because me. That is me. My story, I'm so grateful for the testimonies that were shared today. Owen and Michaela, I mean, we could go home after that. But I'll share with you, for me, I am an all-star hypocrite. If the Pro Bowl of hypocrites of all time, I would be the starting quarterback or maybe the backup. I don't know, but like I'd be on that team. And I was so good at church growing up. I knew all the memory verses. I knew all the trivia. I could sing all the songs. I could smile. I could hug people. I could serve. I could do all the right things. I knew all the right answers. The second that I walked out, I was doing me. Every Sunday, I sat in church and listened to the message. And I burned inside, scared to death that somebody would find out what I was doing in my life. I was immoral. I was impure. I was addicted to impurity. I had a mouth like a sailor. I had a mouth starting in seventh grade. But you would never have known it if you'd seen me at church on Sunday. And every Sunday, I wish somebody would catch me. But at the same time, I was so scared to death to let anybody do it. The sexual morality, the drinking, drugs, selfishness, hypocrisy, envy, lust, gossip. You sit in our rooms at night and you wonder, why do I keep doing this? Maybe you achieve what you want, but you still feel like something's missing. Yeah, but the more sin in your life, the harder your heart becomes. Yeah. And if you're sitting here thinking, well, I'm glad that's not me. Busted, that is you. Yeah. I got you. In fact, if you think you have no sin, I don't know what you're doing here. Or you should be up here. You should be preaching. If you've been a Christian for a while, all the worse. Because it's so easy to become deceived. Because all the easy stuff to see is gone. Now it's all heart stuff. And I don't know where you are right now. But if there's a sin in your heart that's making you burn and squirm in your seat, you got to get real. It's tearing you apart. It's hardening you up. Day by day. Bit by bit, it's carrying you away like a wolf in its prey. Now, I don't know what it's been like for you up to this point. I don't know about all your yesterdays. I don't know about your past. But today, if you hear His voice, don't harden your heart. Don't harden your heart. Ask yourself, have you become hard of hearing to the Word of God? The second point. The least likely point to be made at a campus service. We all need hearing aids. Never to be repeated at another campus service. I don't know if you guys know how a hearing aid works. Basically, you just plug it into your ears. And it amplifies the sound of what's going on in real life. It just turns up the volume. It's pretty much what's going on. And really, well, you got to ask the question like, okay, so what if I'm sitting here, Matt, and my heart is hard? Maybe it might be hard. Maybe there might be some things that I am not hearing as well as I need to. What do I do? Well, that's where we, all of us, y'all, come in. For them, if you take a look here in verse 12, the command is, see to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you have a sinful, unbelieving heart. See to it. Take heart. Take care. There are a lot of different translations for that, but the idea is it's a charge. Make it your business that none of you have a sinful, unbelieving heart.
Right.
Now, they would have been used to that. In the Old Testament, everything was done in community. They were living on top of each other. They were living, like, we think, man, for college students, if you got a dorm, if you got a roommate, and they're in the bunk on top of you, like, I need my space. Shoot, if, like, you know, if my the roommate that I had very thin walls that I was sharing with, I need my space. I need to be a little bit... That's not how it would work then. They were in close quarters. And even spiritually, everything was done. If there was sin in the camp, sin in the community, everybody had to deal with it because everybody suffered from it. If there was immorality, adultery, if there was idolatry, the whole community came together and stoned the guilty person. See to it that none of you... It was a community affair. See to it. Everybody would have been familiar with everybody. And in the New Testament, these Christians that were hearing this, not only were they outcasts of the world, but then they were outcasts of the Jewish world too. So they really needed to stick together. Because nobody liked them. It was tough being a Christian. And then things got to their probably absolute worst. In 64 AD, one of the most persecuting emperors of Rome rose to power. His name was Nero. And there's a fire that, from all we can tell, Nero actually started himself and blamed it on Christians. So persecution got hot and heavy. And many were losing heart. They had heard the truth. They had actually accepted the call for heart repentance and grace. But they were going to trade all of that to go back to what they had. Safety. Security.
Right.
And that's where this word comes in. Encourage.
Right.
Encourage one another daily as long as it's called today. Now, we have this interesting concept of encourage. Encourage, you said encouragement cards, which, you know, have these little, you know, the Hallmark kind of fun words of affirmation with hearts and birds on them and, you know, whatever. And I know for Christians, that word is so, we use it so much. I'm encouraged. I'm encouraged by the singing. I'm encouraged by your face. I'm encouraged by your smile. I'm encouraged by your car. I'm encouraged that you gave me a ride. I'm encouraged that you're encouraged that I'm encouraged. But that word there actually was a really loaded term for anybody that was reading Greek. There's a bunch of different ways that it would have come out. You say this word, which is parakaleo. Oh yeah, parakaleo. There's a lot of different ways it would have come out. One, this word conjured up a military officer commanding his troops in battle after they'd just been shaken. Parakaleo, to call alongside and to steady. Come on, boys, let's go. Parakaleo, if you have been injured, hurt, broken a bone, parakaleo, to call alongside a physician. Same word. You're calling a doctor to come set the bone. Parakaleo. If you were in court, parakaleo, to call along the paraclete, which would have been the advocate, which is actually what Jesus calls the Holy Spirit, to defend you. And then maybe for me, the most vivid picture is parakaleo, to get down on your hands and knees with a dying fire while its embers are still flickering, and to patiently and gently blow on the embers until the flames come back. That's parakaleo. That is encouragement. Now, you can do that with a Hallmark card and a smile, but parakaleo, to encourage one another as long as it is called today, to make sure that none of us have a sinful, unbelieving heart, means so much more. You know, we all need some encouragement. We all need somebody to patiently bring back the fires of our hearts. We all need reinforcements and steadying power. We all need a doctor sometime. And then there are two questions that we got to ask ourselves. Are you willing to be an encourager? And are you willing to call for an encourager? We'll start with be one. You can say between those two, well, actually, I'd like to be an encourager a lot more. That's a little simpler. Let me just be nice to people. Let me smile at them. But now with this fully explained definition of parakaleo, of encouragement, that's actually a little bit different. Whoa. It takes perseverance. Encourage one another as long as it is called today. That is many days. In fact, every day that you're alive is today, so you better always be encouraging. As long as it's called today. Oh, all I have to do is encourage on today. Wait a minute. See what you did there. But then even deeper, the heart. Make sure none of you have a sinful, unbelieving heart. Make sure none of you have a sinful, unbelieving face. None of you have a sinful, unbelieving time, a way of fellowshipping a church. But heart. You got to get deep. We got to be willing to get in there deep and deal with the issues that our brothers and sisters actually have. Be willing to stay in there and not give up the second and third and fourth and fifth and sixth and seventh and eighth time that they messed up. But to stay in there and encourage them, to blow on the embers of their heart so they can stand and light somebody else's fire. Here's a question. Who would you be devastated by losing them as a brother or sister? Now, think about that person and then ask, do they know that? Could they tell that by your actions toward them? Because a lot of times they're like, oh, you're my bro, you're my dog, you're my girl. We're close. But so often our hearts can get hardened because we don't realize that we mean so much to each other. Yeah. We got to tell people that.
Yeah.
We got to encourage. That's a challenge. Figure out who in your life needs to be called. Called higher. Who needs to be encouraged? And do it this week. Figure out that brother or sister who you'd be devastated by losing. And you run and encourage them to make sure their heart is not sinful or unbelieving.
Yeah.
And you do it this week. Because you would be devastated if we lose any of us, but particularly them. And the second question. Are you willing to call for encouragement? You know, we all need encouragement, but sometimes those sad, lonely nights turn into weeks, turn into months, turn into years. And maybe you're sick of living like this. Maybe you're constantly thinking, I'm sick of my life like this. But you're not really willing to call for help. So for those of you that are visiting with us this morning, or what is it, afternoon now? It is definitely afternoon now. What am I doing? I will let the cat out of the bag on this one. You know, you guys, you can come. I'm so glad to have you with us to worship and sing some songs and come out. We'll probably all go out to lunch or you can hang out later on. I don't know if it's too late for lunch now. I don't even know what time of day it is. But here's the real truth. This is what we want to be for you. If this is the first time you're here, we want to study the Bible with you. We want to be that person who encourages you. We want to be that one who calls you higher. We want to be the ones that see to it that you don't have a sinful, unbelieving heart. And you can be here to hang out. You can be here to just, you know, do your thing. Check the spiritual box. You can do that. But that's not why any of us are here. We're here to make sure that we all get to heaven together. And here's the truth of the matter. It ain't going to be sunshine and rainbows and unicorns and happiness and happy frosty minty green. If you have to set a broken bone, it's going to hurt. If you've ever dislocated something, to relocate it, that takes some pressure. And we all need that. Sometimes that's the encouragement we need. But if you're here visiting and you realize that maybe your heart is hardened, we all need hearing aids. Are you willing to call for some help? There is no way you can do this on your own. You can claim that you're weak, claim that you're struggling, but if you never ask for help, you're all the more deceived. I know some of you guys, even in the ministry, even in the church, confessing the same sins over and over and over again, stuck as a slave to the same sin that they were 6 months, a year, 2 years, 5 years ago. You're not really hearing God's voice. You need a hearing aid. And it's okay. Because we all need hearing aids. We're all a mess. We all need some encouragement. Yeah. And we all need someone to show us the lies that our sin keep telling us. Right. Can you hear His voice? If not, get a hearing aid. Right. Come on, my last point, listen to the whole album. You know, you always tell somebody who really likes the band versus somebody who really just likes the song. Like, oh, I love them. What's your favorite song? Oh, that one that they play like 50 times a day on the radio. What's your favorite song? Call Me Maybe. She ain't got other songs. You can always tell a diehard fan from a not diehard fan, somebody who's just casual. For me, I'm a diehard Redskins fan. Deal with it. Hear his voice. But you can tell by my car. My car is beat up, it's busted, it's being held together by duct tape and Redskins bumper stickers. And my license plate says Car G3. It's a pun based on RG3. I got that back in the summer when nobody had any idea if he was going to be any good. I was all in way before. I was going to look like an idiot if he was a bust. Yeah, exactly. I got a lot of fist pumps, you know, at the beginning of the year. But honestly, all I could think of is, man, I really hope he's good. Otherwise, I'm going to look stupid. Amen. It all worked out in the end. But that's the kind of level of... I love the Redskins, so I'm willing to put myself out there like that, regardless of how it ends up. It wasn't like I was going to change it afterwards. I was going to look foolish, but that'd still be my car. I'd still be driving it around. When we take a look here at this passage, what these people were called to do was to take the message that they heard and combine it with faith. Verse 18, "And whom did God swear that they would never enter His rest, if not to those who disobeyed?" So we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. The reason they weren't able to enter was not because they didn't hear it, because they didn't act on it. They didn't believe. They didn't have faith. And take a look down here, chapter 4, verse 2. "For we also have the good news proclaimed to us just as they did, but the message they heard was of no value to them." No value. The very words of God had no value. Why? Because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. Other translations, they did not combine what they heard with faith. It's crazy that your faithlessness, my faithlessness, can render the very words of God powerless. And we need to realize, all of us here, that sitting in this room and hearing a sermon, or reading a spiritual book, or having a quiet time where you read your Bible and pray in the morning, is utterly useless unless we combine it with the faith of those who obey. The second that we walk out those doors, we can't be deceived that if we go back to the life that we were living before we got in, it is useless. It is of no value. If tomorrow you're back on campus and you feel great about yourself because you went to church, but you didn't make any effort to call anybody to help you see your sin. If you didn't realize the sin and the hardness of your heart, this is all useless. If your life has been you acting religious on Sundays, but you shudder to think if what people knew on your internet history, your browser history, or people knew what was in your conversations with your friends, or what you do on Friday nights, or how you treat your spouse, if you aren't holding firmly with faith, all of this does not matter in the slightest. Verse 14, you've got to hold firmly to the end. "We have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold to our original conviction firmly to the end. If you aren't holding firmly, whatever you did, maybe you think, man, when I was younger, I was really into being spiritual. I did great stuff when I was younger. But if that's not happening now, it doesn't really matter. You got to hold firmly to the end. But on the flip side, if you do obey, if you do combine what you hear today, what you do hear tomorrow when you read the Word, if you were to combine that with faith, that's the most amazing gift that God could give anybody. Think about this. Moses combined God's voice with faith, and he saw everything that happened in the Exodus. He parted the Red Sea. Miracles were done. His people were free. Literally, God can do the impossible, as long as you combine it with faith. The cycle that you've been in your whole life, the emotional scars that you've had since you were a kid, the emptiness of your life, purposelessness, immorality, impurity, loneliness, abuse, none of it will matter once you've been hit by the promise of God's rest. Don't wait. Don't waste a minute. If you hear God's voice right now, don't harden your heart. Act on faith and obey. When we go to lunch, be talking about this. Think about who you can call to help you. Think about your heart. Ask yourself, have you been hard of hearing? Consider, have I called for help truly? Decide that I will combine what I've heard with faith. And I just got to finish that story about the roommate when I went to that concert. After hearing it for so long and despising it and hating it, having my heart hardened against this particular song, he gets up there, and it was actually incredible to hear all of it together, to hear it as it was meant to be heard, all together, was amazing. In fact, it's still my favorite a cappella song ever. They went on to go and put that particular song on an album called Best of College A Cappella, one of the top songs in the country of college a cappella. What started off as one of the greatest annoyances of my life turned into a joy. But only when I heard it completely. Only when I went after it as it was meant to be heard. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. Listen for His voice. Soften your heart. Combine it with faith. And let's all enter His rest as God meant us to do. Amen.